Just get that really deep within our hearts that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he really loves us. He called us. He made us his own. He made us his children. He wants to have a relationship with us. That's probably, in my mind, like the greatest secret in the world today, is that God really loves us. So today, I'm going to be talking about I love you, O Lord, my strength. And I'm going to be sharing from Psalm 18, and I'm going to be reading from the ESV version, so you can follow along in whatever one you have. Psalm 18 is a beautiful psalm that David wrote at the end of his life, but it celebrates the time when God delivered him from the hand of Saul. Saul had been chasing him around for many, many years, and David and his men were in the wilderness, and they just had to keep fleeing from a very concerted pursuit that Saul had on David's life. And finally, there was a deliverance, but it didn't happen until after quite a few years. So he wrote this psalm, which is also in 2 Samuel 22, right after he was delivered. But he put the whole thing together at the end of his life. It's like a capsulization, I think, of all the things that God taught him through the years, even after he became king, and then there was lots of really great things that happened to him. He gets to the end of his life, and he wants to say, this is my life. This is what I stand for. This is what I really want to tell you about. And that's how I read it. So the first verse says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. And then it goes on, like Johnny Keno's song about the Lord is my rock, and says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Now, the thing that I see in here, it's like, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He's my deliverer. He's my God. He's my shield. It's personal. And what I think really what David's heart was in this is that we can talk all day long about how we overcome our enemies and we have this surpassing victory and yay, if God be for us, who can be against us? But when you get to the place where it's the Lord delivered me, he's my rock, he's my fortress, where you know that he did it for you, and I'm saying me, you know, he did it for me, then I can really say, oh Lord, I love you. You are my strength. See, it's personal. And I was thinking of a really good example of that where, like my niece is here visiting. And I say that. I say, my niece is here. Now, there's lots of other young people in this room, but she is my niece. And it makes this very, very special relationship that, you know, I have other nieces and nephews, but she is related to me. She's not related to you guys. I mean, she's related to Judy and Mom and Mark and Stephen and Katie, but they also have this personal relationship with her because she's part of our family. And that's what I think that I just, the basic thing that I want you to see today is this entire psalm is about how we can have it be my deliverance and my strength. The word strength there also is a really interesting word. There's a couple words for strength throughout this psalm, and I'm going to be talking about another one. But this first one here, O Lord, I love you, O Lord, my strength. It means to grab hold tightly. Like, God is the one who grabs us tightly and goes, you're mine, you're mine, I want you. You see? It's very, very personal. So watch this as we read through the rest of the verses. verse 2, where we were saying, the Lord is my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. It's the whole picture of the rock. You know, I've taught before, this gigantic cliff, right? And it has an overhanging ledge. And you run for refuge to go underneath the rock to be protected. It's a gigantic rock, too. It's not just, you know, a little tiny cave somewhere. It's God is a rock. He's the rock, right? And so you can take refuge in that. Verse 3, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And I am saved from my enemies. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. The Tanakh, the Jewish translation of the Old Testament, says, all praise. I called on the Lord and I was delivered from my enemies. So it puts it in a very positive way, actually, in the Hebrew. And when something is worthy to be praised, we get actually the English word worship, like we talk about worshiping God, right? Worship comes from the word worth. And if something is worthy or has worth, it has value, it has merit, it has something important that you want to acknowledge. So worship simply really is praising God for his value, his merits and what he's done. So all through this, God is saying, look, God is the one that delivered me from my enemies. So that's why he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy because he is a rock. He's worthy because he is a fortress. He's worthy because he is a shield. You see? And so in our conversation with God, we can say those same things of when we're praising him and trying to verbalize the praise to really pinpoint what it is that God is to you, to me. He's my shield. So when I'm praising him, I'm saying, God, you are worthy. You have value because you delivered me. You're my deliverer. See, we kind of gloss over the my part. Do you understand what I'm getting at here? Okay, let's go on and read verse 4. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. And we've had plenty of that kind of thing confronting us in times past. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Distress is a word which means squeezing. The kind of pressure that just squeezes you from the outside to when you just feel like, I can't move. That's distress. But in my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. He heard my voice. Notice again, it's all about, it's a personal thing. He heard my voice. Okay, it's okay if Mark calls on him or if Jeffrey calls on him. Is that my voice? No. I have to lift up my voice to ask for help and cry out to him. And so from his temple, he heard my voice and my cry reached into his ears. Now, when the cry reached into his ears, did he just go, oh, well, I'm too busy for her today. No, it implies that when he hears our request and our call for help, then he just goes right to work. And that's actually what happens in verses 7 through 15. It just has this incredible description about how with the blast of the breath of his nostrils, God does all this fantastic stuff because, again, he's the creator of the heavens and the earth, right? So if he says he's going to go to help someone, he can do it, right? He can call on all of his resources. So just skip down now to verse 16. Because there's phrases here where it talks about what God did to me. He did this to me. Verse 16, he sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me. See how personal this is? It's not just David talking. We can speak this psalm. He delivered me from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me into a broad place. That reminds me of the secret place. You know, the broad place that's in his presence, right? He brought me. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Isn't that neat how it goes back and forth? We all need to have this vital spiritual relationship with God. So, you know, do you need a partner today? Do you need somebody to rescue you? I do. You know, my husband and I, we bought a business and we've been working on it for about a month, and there's a lot of challenges in it, and they're not easy. I was talking to T the other day, and I asked her how her new job was going, and she said, oh, I feel like I'm about halfway up the learning curve. And I went, I kind of feel like I'm about a quarter of the way up the learning curve here. You know, that there's a lot to do, and there's a lot to do and to think about and to solve and to figure out. But when we're partners and we're workers together with God, then that pressure that comes in and starts squeezing you, let me see if I can just squeeze her to the place where she blows up or gives up or says, oh, this can't ever be solved. Mm-mm. I am even more determined, and I can stand up in front of you today and just say, I love you, O Lord, my strength. You are my strength. You are the one that delivers me. You are the one that saves me from my enemies. You are the one who has the answer for every single situation. I don't care what it is. Whew. So life is challenging, but we have God as a partner, and he truly is our shield and our rock and our fortress. And he does deliver. He delivers me. Now you say it, see? He delivers me. Me. Whew. Okay. Go down to verse 25. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. And with the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. When God delivers us, it's like he lights this lamp in the midst of stressful situation where there is pressure. He turns on the light switch and exposes the darkness and gives us that light that we can walk truly having confidence in God's answers. So again, this is just such a really personal thing. Now verse 29, it starts kind of climaxing in this psalm. It says, for it is you who light my lamp. Okay, for by you, verse 29, by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. That by you, in Hebrew, the word by, and in Aramaic too, the word by can either mean in or with or by. So in here, if you change it to in, it really makes sense. For in you, I can run through a troop. By my God, in my God, I can scale the wall. So in other words, in you, in your strength, I can do this. It's not I can do it, because when I start relying upon my own strength, man, it fails so miserably so fast, it makes your head spin, right? So, but in you, I can burst through a troop of enemies. In you, I can scale the highest wall that there would be, even though there's enemies there. And that reminds me of Philippians 4:13. So you can hold your finger here in Psalms and just go over to Philippians. When I was studying this, when I was working on the translation, Philippians 4, the phrase, I can do all things, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, you get really, really blessed with the idea that God can strengthen us, right? Okay, but then if you immediately go to the I can do it, somehow it changes it away from, what about he delivered me, he rescued me, am I now supposed to rely upon my own strength? Well, truthfully, every time I've ever done that, it failed, right? And Warren, you had a great line in the first song that you did about how my strength is like a grain of sand, and yet the strength of God is like the rock. That's the comparison. So if I say, I can do, So the phrase in Aramaic really is better translated, I find strength in Christ in everything who strengthens me. I find strength in everything in Christ who strengthens me, because he's the rock too. He is in us, right? And so the strength comes from within, where you're strengthened inside, no matter what the challenge is. You find it. You can find it because you have it already, right? You have it already inside in the Christ in you. And so you grab a hold of that. And it strengthens you from the inside out. And that's the same kind of thing as saying, in God, I can run against the troop. Not because I'm so strong and so mighty and I can scale this big old wall. It's not that at all. But in God, in Christ, we can find the strength to go against any kind of enemy. The word strength here, I'll just tell you a little bit about. It's the Hebrew word kael, C-H-A-Y-I-L. And the Aramaic word is Kayla, K-H-A-Y-L-A. And it has a word picture that means it's what bores through the wall of the enemy. And in the Eastern times, of course, you know, they didn't have high-speed drills, right? But that's a picture I have in my mind, and a modern-day illustration of this is, you'd have a steel wall, right? And it would be from floor to ceiling all the way up. And there's no way that you could get through that wall. But if you took a high-speed drill that had this gigantic bit on it like this, right? And it was powered by however much hydraulic something or other, right? And you just start going, it would go through that wall just like that. And you could just go all along the thing and you could carve out a little spot and then you'd be walking through that wall. That's the kind of strength that it's talking about here. It can be translated strength, power, might, also the word for army, because an army bores through the barriers that an enemy puts up. So Satan is our enemy. He puts up these walls. God's strength is like this high-speed drill, going through. It's a cool picture. So then go over to Ephesians chapter 6, because this is probably the ultimate section, right, about the armor of God. Verse 10 of Ephesians 6 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Our might? Is it our might? No, it's his might. the Aramaic translation of this verse is, be strong in the immensity of his power. And that word power is the same word strength that as I was just talking about, the drill bit, okay? Be strong in the immensity of his power, that he's the one that can drill through any wall. That's why you say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. How? In our own strength? No, because it's his strength, see? And that reminds me of Romans 8 too. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one. Nobody can be against us. We have the surpassing victory. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I will love you, O Lord, my strength. I will love you, O Lord, my strength, because I know that I don't have it. And I need you. I need you to be my rock. My rock. And I know, you know, you can personalize this too. That's why I'm saying it so much like I today. I need to be strong in the immensity of God's strength. Nobody else can do it for me. Right? So back to Psalm 18. Has this really powerful section in the middle here. Starting in verse 30. We were talking about, by my God I can leap over a wall. And in King James it says, as for God, right? It's saying, by my God I can leap over a wall. Now this God that I'm talking about, this God, the God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. He's a shield because his word is true. It's totally 100% reliable. We can base our lives on it. We can go to him in any category and under any condition and no matter how hard the battle is and how many enemies are set against us. Verse 31, for who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? Well, the answer is, of course he is. Yes, he is. This God, the God who equips me with strength and makes my way blameless. He equips me with strength. It's who is God? He's namely the one who equips me with strength. He literally girds me with strength, like the girdle. Okay, then, what does that remind you of? Ephesians 6. So hold your finger here and go back there again to Ephesians 6. Someday we're going to teach the whole armor again. But look at verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So there's another picture here. It's like God's strength, his high-powered drill, is like a girdle that you put around your waist. And it strengthens you in the place where you need it. You can literally translate this whole section that gird up your loins with truth is that you make God's faithfulness to his word the source of your strength, like a girdle around your waist. Like it's holding the most important part of your body together to provide strength for you. God's strength, not your strength, but God's strength. And the word truth here is another picture where it's like a bow, an archery bow. And in order to pull back a really strong archery bow, like Mark had a crossbow one time when he was young, and between the two of us, we couldn't even hardly get that thing to pull back because it was pretty strong. So anyway, that tensile strength of the bow, you pull it back like this, and you have to really, really hold it. And that point where it's just so tense right there, that's where truth is, because as soon as you let the arrow go, it hits the target. It, truth is like that tension where it's like a bow that is so strong and so powerful that as soon as you let the arrow go, it goes straight through all the lies, all the hypocrisy, all the things that are false that the enemy tries to beat us with every day. You're not really healed. You don't really have the answer. I can't deliver you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it cuts through that to really show you the truth, the absolute faithfulness of God's word. That's how we can be strong. We can have it girded around our waist. And it totally separates through all the lies of the enemy. I was driving down the road yesterday, and I was following behind this truck, and on the back of the truck, it said the armor of God, and I went, truth. It said truth at the top. And then it said soul armor. And I always think about the armor of God as being spiritual armor, right? Because it's all about who we are in Christ and things like that. But then that really got me thinking that it's soul armor. It is, because it changes my mind. It infuses my soul, my inside, with that kind of strength that nobody else can provide except God. I thought, wow. This is cool. I'm going to picture the armor of God having soul armor, you know? Oh, my goodness. Okay, back to Psalm 18. Verse 33. He made my feet like the feet of a deer, and he set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. There's our bow, right? Ooh, he trains my arm so I can actually bend that thing and I can hold it. And he gives me the strength so that when I shoot it, it pierces through all the darkness. I love the part about he made my feet like hinds feet and sets me up on my high places. We've always kind of taught before that has to do with how the mother deer has very accurately goes up the mountain and the baby follows the mother deer. But in this context, I really believe it actually is talking about how swift and how fleet of foot the hind is, the deer, especially the female deer, because they are responsible for caring for their young. In order to escape from the enemies, they have to be able to just scamper up the mountain really quickly. And so you go to my high places. My high places. They're not necessarily yours, although we could be there together, right? But they are my high places, the place that I need to be in safety, that I need to be rescued from. And we can have our feet like hinds feet, where we just go, okay, I'm at the top of the mountain now. What's going on down there? There might be enemies down there. Yeah, there are some enemies down there. But you're secure in God's protection. Keep your finger here, too, and look at Habakkuk chapter 3. And if you can't get there, that's okay. I'll just read it to you. It's the last verse of Habakkuk. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Habakkuk goes through this entire prayer about how God rescued him and has taken care of him and takes care of Israel. He gets to the very last verse of 19, and he echoes what David had said in Psalm 18. God, the Lord, is my strength. He's my strength. I don't know, I want to challenge you that this week you take this sharing and just go, the Lord is my strength. If you don't remember anything else about what I've been talking about, just say, the Lord is my strength. He's my strength. He's my rock. He's my fortress. The Lord God is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me to tread up on my high places. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Because when I need it, you show me the path to go up the mountain, to go to those high places, to be rescued. All right, we'll end back at Psalm 18 again. Verse 39. You can read the parts that I'm skipping over. But verse 39 says, you equipped me, or you girded me, right? Again, it's King James says, girded me. You girded me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets. You delivered me. It's the same example of Joshua. Remember about having his feet on the necks of the enemies, where Joshua made the kings lie down, and then he had all his captains put their feet on the necks of the kings and said, all things are under my feet, right? God has made our enemies under our feet because Christ triumphed over everything. So is our problem that we're dealing with in our lives, is it too big for God? No, it's not. Verse 46, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who delivered me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You rescued me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows such steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. The reason we praise, we call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, because he is the rock. He is the deliverer. He is the one who has helped me in the past. He's helping me now, and he will help me in the future. He is my deliverer in the past. I can tell you 100 stories of times where God delivered me in the past, right? And you can too. We could tell testimonies all day long about God's deliverance in the past, right? But now we're talking about present and future. And that's what David had wanted to leave with the people, is that, okay, it's all right and great and fine for me to stand up here and say, oh, God delivered me from the hand of Saul. Isn't that so wonderful? But he's going, God will deliver you too, now and in the future. As you look to him and as you do what Psalm 107 says, where it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So this week, let's be say-so Christians. Let's say, the Lord redeemed me. He's my strength, and I love you, O Lord, my strength. So let's pray here. Father God, I just really thank you for this time that we can look at such a beautiful psalm that David wrote, and how his heart was so wonderful to be able to share not only the deliverance that he had experienced, but to show us his relationship with you and how he was a man after your own heart. And he really truly looked to you in every single situation. And that's what we can do also. And we're so grateful for being able to just come humbly before you and to ask you for that help in time of need. For you truly are worthy to be praised. And you truly are an awesome, awesome God. Thank you for blessing each person here and for all of our families and the families that we represent. And thank you that this week we can be bold in coming to your throne of grace to find help in every single situation, no matter what it is, that we can come boldly to you, Father, and we can pour out our hearts to you, and we can honor and praise you and give you all the glory. And it's in the name of our wonderful Lord that I pray. Amen.